Truth News Network. Maybe the scariest thing there is today is truth in media, especially the news. Get not only the news, but the truth in the news and nothing else. From TNN, the Truth News Network. Without the other guy's spin, here's your host, Dan Newman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Truth News Network. We're looking forward to sharing some really good stuff the next couple of days. We'll talk about tomorrow a little bit later this evening, but right now let's get down to it. Today's title of our podcast is The Bottomless Pit, the U.S. Congress. You know, it's almost humorous to watch as the ineffectiveness in government in Washington is exposed every day, especially in legislative matters. Obtaining congressional actions is a sham. Its operations are comical. It seems the American public to be unmanageable, and its leadership is purely political with no real legislative objectives visible, or so it seems. And the apparent disarray in operations in Congress seem to carry over into every other division of government. If this chaos of operations in American government was specific to one department alone, it would certainly be simple enough to analyze the issues, devise a fix or two, and implement whatever corrections are necessary. But it is not exclusive to the legislative branch. But today, we restrict this conversation to the U.S. Congress. You know, I honestly do not understand how Congress gets anything done regarding legislative matters. Actually, there are those who feel Congress gets nothing or very little done at all. The powers of the U.S. Congress are set forth in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. The constitutionally granted powers of Congress are further defined and interpreted by the rulings of the Supreme Court and by its own rules, its customs, and its history. The powers explicitly defined by the Constitution are called the enumerated powers. Other powers not specifically listed in Section 8 but assumed to exist are called implied powers. Of all the powers of Congress, none is more important than its enumerated power to make laws. Article 1 of the Constitution sets forth the powers of Congress in specific language. Section 8 states, "Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States, or in any department or officer thereof." Laws aren't simply conjured out of thin air, of course. In fact, the legislative process is quite involved and designed to ensure that proposed laws are given careful consideration. In addition to the explicit powers enumerated in Section 8 of the Constitution, Congress also has additional implied powers derived from the Necessary and Proper Clause of the Constitution, which permits it to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers, or in any department of or officer thereof. Through the Supreme Court's many interpretations of the Necessary and Proper Clause and the Commerce Clause, the enumerated power to regulate interstate commerce, such as McCulloch versus Maryland, the true range of the lawmaking powers of Congress extends far beyond those enumerated in just Section 8. Congress can also investigate pressing national issues, and it is charged with supervising and providing a balance for the executive and judicial branches. It is this power and responsibility of Congress that seems to perpetuate the feelings of Americans that Congress doesn't get very much done. Congress seems to spend more collective time looking for issues of others in government and chasing those involved in those issues they find to fix them. The problem is that in these cases, those in Congress seem to forget the primary role it serves in government is to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution and the government of the United States. Maybe all the effort required to make all laws is so exhausting that members forget all the other stuff, and they just continually run in circles chasing rabbits. But to most Americans, Congress seems to accomplish very, very little. How little? What about 2017 U.S. Congress big accomplishments? Remember, 2017 was the first year of the Donald Trump administration. And we all remember his promises during his 2016 campaign and the run-up to the November 2016 election in which he defeated Hillary Clinton. In that most Americans doubt Congress does much, Congressman John Shimkus, who's a Republican from Illinois, argues that the U.S. House of Representatives is getting things done. Remember, it takes two houses, the House of Representatives and the Senate, to pass laws. The congressman on his website published a list of the greatest accomplishments of Congress in 2017. Let's look at them. First, the Veterans Administration Accountability First Act. And that one was signed into law. Then there's the Forever GI Bill. It passed the House 405-0, unanimously. The No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. It also passed the House, but the vote was 228-195. There was Kate's Law that was named after Kate Steinle, who was gunned down by an illegal immigrant that had been deported five times in San Francisco. It passed the House 257-167. The National Defense Authorization Act also passed the House. A big support there, 344-81. Protecting Second Amendment Rights. That one was signed into law. Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act. That passed the House by a voice vote. FDA User Fee Reauthorization Act has been presented to the president. The Nuclear Waste Legislation Act was approved 49-4. Think about that. There are 435 members in Congress. Only 53 voted on that one. I don't know the details of it, the nuclear waste legislation, but it was approved 49-4. And the final one on Congressman Shimkus's list is the Drinking Water System Improvement Act that was approved unanimously. So, folks, a whole year. Now, that's not the House and the Senate. That's just the House. Congressman John Shimkus, Republican of Illinois, listed those as the leading legislative acts passed by the House of Representatives. These 10 congressional accomplishments, which are listed on our homepage of our website, and incidentally, each one of the names of those acts is hyperlinked, so if you want to get details of each, open up the webpage, www.truthnewsnet.org, and click on the hyperlink. It'll take you right to the bill so you can read all the details. These 10 accomplishments, according to Congressman Shimkus, are the most important congressional accomplishments of 2017. Obviously, his list includes specific bills that originated in the House, and the U.S. Senate also passed some bills. But it takes both houses to pass bills that find their way to the president's desk to be signed into law. Of those 10 bills we just told you about, that Shimkus said are the significant legislative acts of 2017, only two were actually signed into law. Two out of 10. None of the others include any that the U.S. Senate passed, even made it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for presidential signature. Now, some will say, well, what about the tax bill? Shimkus did not mention the tax bill. It did pass just before Christmas in 2017, but it did not go into effect until January of 2018. So technically, even though it was in Congress and got passed in 2017, it wasn't a 2017 bill that got signed into law that went into effect until 2018. Regarding the U.S. Senate, the role of the Senate was conceived by our founding fathers as a check on the popularly elected House of Representatives. Thus, each state regardless of size or population, is equally represented, or two from each state. Further, until the 17th Amendment of the Constitution, it was passed and ratified in 1913, election to the Senate was indirect by the state legislatures. They are now, of course, elected directly by voters of each state. The Senate shares with the House of Representatives responsibility for all lawmaking within the U.S. For an act of Congress to be valid, both houses must approve an identical document. That means there's a reconciliation process. You hear them talk about reconciliation between the House and the Senate. Sometimes the House passes a bill first, and when it goes to the Senate, it's amended over there. And after they approve their version, there's a reconciliation team that's made up of members of both the House and the Senate that get together and they reconcile those changes and come up with a final version that goes back for approval. The Senate is given important powers under the advice and consent provisions in Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. Ratification of treaties requires a two-thirds majority of all senators present and a simple majority for approval of important public appointments, such as those of cabinet members, ambassadors, and judges of the Supreme Court. The Senate also adjudicates impeachment proceedings initiated in the House of Representatives. The House has to initiate impeachment proceedings, not just of the president, but of any federal officer. And then a two-thirds majority is necessary for conviction. The actual impeachment trial takes place in the Senate. Two-thirds of the senators have to vote before whoever's being impeached is convicted. It was in this role that in 2017, the Senate confirmed Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. He replaced Justice Antonin Scalia, who passed away. Supreme Court confirmations in tandem with the confirmation of several hundred other federal judges is the most critical role of the U.S. Senate. While there were numerous judicial nominees whose appointments were confirmed in 2017, this Senate finished the year, 2017, with many more empty federal judgeship nominations awaiting those confirmations. So, there are 435 members in the House. There are 100 senators. It's got to cost a whole lot of money to run that whole operation, don't you think? Yep. It does. We're going to talk about that when we come back. And it is going to light you up. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network. Sit tight.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price, guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Truth, justice, the American way. The Truth News Network. Once again, here's Dan Newman.
Back to the bottomless pit. Of course, we're talking about the U.S. Congress. And before the break, we mentioned Congress has got a pretty big operational budget. Think about this. There are 535 members of Congress, 435 in the House, 100 members of the Senate. Obviously, each member of Congress has a support staff and offices and must operate in Washington, D.C., and in their respective districts because they represent people, voters, and therefore they must interact with their constituents. Needless to say, operating this branch of the government must really be expensive, right? How much does it cost to run Congress? Getting that information should be pretty simple. I mean, God invented Google, didn't he? So just do a Google search for Congress annual operating budget, right? Wrong. I tried that. I spent the better part of 1 hour trying to find the annual operating budget of Congress. When I searched, I found numerous links to the government's operating budget. The government's operating budget. Not the operating budget of just Congress. In fact, those searches resulted in copious documentation that details the budgets of every department of the U.S. government for every year for the last 15 years. But I found just one reference to the actual operating budget of just Congress. And that reference was just for 1 year. 1 year only. Couldn't find it for other years. Based on an article on Huffington Post that's dated all the way back to January of 2009, the current annual operating budget for that year was $4.4 billion. That's the operating budget for Congress. Let's break that down. That is roughly $8.2 million per member of Congress, or $3,348.55 per second. Did you get that? That Congress' current annual operating budget was for 2009, 10 years ago. $4.4 billion sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like a lot more when it's broken down into $8.2 million per member. Based on normal government operational practices, who thinks that $4.4 billion number is probably quite a bit higher than the current number? I did find this information buried in an article that says the 2011 Legislative Branch Appropriations Bill, which includes Congress's operating budget, totaled $4.63 billion, which includes $926 million for the Senate, $1.371 billion for the House of Representatives. Remember, there are 435 members in the House. $337.2 million for the Capitol Police, which includes 1,800 Capitol Police officers and 393 civilians, plus $147 million for the government printing office. Any way you add it up, folks, Congress cost a bunch of money. Americans are aghast at how little legislative work is completed in Congress for all that money. If Americans all were aware of how slim their accomplishments are, there would be a revolt. It is unfathomable that with the edicts given to members of Congress in general elections and midterm elections by voters, the will of voters is summarily pushed aside when Congress is gaveled into session. Not just this year or last year, but every time. In 2016, Americans gave Donald Trump an electoral landslide for the presidency. Why? Americans, with the exception of most from big coastal states and a spattering in between the coast, most Americans agreed with his policy commitments that he said he would push through if he was elected. Americans forgot that a president cannot pass laws. It takes two houses in Congress to put a bill on a president's desk to be signed into law. This Congress has done very little of that. And in doing so, Congress has, on the most part, ignored the Trump policy promises to Americans for which he was elected. Americans know the failure to fund a border wall, defund and replace Obamacare, fix immigration laws, and cut runaway government spending have not happened. Not because of President Trump, but because of Congress. Here's Trump in a speech the day after the Senate rejected even consideration of a bill to repeal a portion of Obamacare.
The men and women of ICE are turning the tide in the battle against MS-13. But we need more resources from Congress, and we're getting them. Congress is actually opening up and really doing a job. They should have approved health care last night, but You can't have everything. Boy, oh boy. They've been working on that one for 7 years. Can you believe that? The swamp. But we'll get it done. We're going to get it done. You know, I said from the beginning, let Obamacare implode and then do it. I turned out to be right. Let Obamacare implode.
The president, unfortunately, had to make similar speeches about the failure of Congress to reform immigration laws, and he presented a bill to Congress to do so that failed in a vote. The total funding of a southern border wall, cuts in federal spending, all of which were promises he made during the 2016 presidential campaign. None of these have been implemented. Their failed implementation is not the president's fault. The fault lies at the feet of members of Congress. House Speaker Paul Ryan, who is on his way out of Congress, has claimed famously that the House of Representatives has passed numerous bills that the Senate has failed to pass or simply refused to consider, yet alone pass. But that's just politics. Every American who studies how Congress works knows that the House Speaker and Senate Majority Leader together decide which issues will be considered in each House long before they are added to the House or Senate agenda. And because the House is controlled by the Republican Party, as is the Senate, the House Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader work together to discuss what the legislative agenda items that are going to be considered in both houses are going to be. They know which ones are coming and which ones aren't. They decide, pretty much as indicated in this Congress, with total disregard of the will of the American voters. The lack of legislative accomplishments in this Congress is due primarily to the failure of congressional leadership, and their failure with the majorities in both houses and a Republican president waiting to sign those bills into law at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue show that it's all for political agenda. Who knows if Americans can achieve changes in Congress to break that roadblock that keeps the legislative will of voters from being actualized? Members of Congress on both sides tell their party members they simply need large or larger majorities to achieve legislatively the will of the people. That's poppycock. Here is my opinion on the matter. There needs to be a unified effort on the part of American voters that does not rely on the participation by current members of Congress or those who will run for Congress in the future. Listen to what I'm talking about. This unified effort needs to be concise, intense, and demanding of all those in office or those that run in the future, and it needs to be transparent to every American. One example of such an effort that worked dramatically was former House Speaker Newt Gingrich's Contract with America that was used by GOP members of Congress to push through meaningful legislative changes during the Clinton administration. You remember the great bill, welfare change? That was implemented under Bill Clinton, but it was implemented as a part of Gingrich's Contract with America. America's rallied around that contract because it was a specific group of legislative agenda items that members were each asked if they would support or not support in Congress. And Americans held them accountable for not only those commitments, but their subsequent votes when those items came up. We need to see that or something similar happen again. And it needs to happen immediately. Now, it's too late for the midterms, but it's not too early to get started for 2020. Getting such a document with items agreed to will not be easy, but anything worth having is worth hurting for. This is definitely worth having, and I don't mind, and I don't think other Americans will mind either, if we hurt a little bit doing so. Oh, one other thing? What should we call it? Well, Contract with America has already been used. Let's come up with some ideas. Let's hear from you. Comment in the homepage comment section below on the bottom right side of the homepage. Or just simply email me your suggestions at dan@truthnewsnet.org. That's dan@truthnewsnet.org. Let's get creative. We got time. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for being part of this family. I really appreciate you looking in and listening in, and I appreciate your ideas, your thoughts, and your support. You have a great one. We'll be back with a very special chapter of TruthNewsNet.org tomorrow. Details coming up. Have a great one.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear. TNN, the Truth News Network. Truth News.